Good morning. My name is Jiří Mírovský. I apologize for not having written it on the slide. I believe you have it in your handouts, but it should be there in any case. It's my first time with a microphone, so I remember a guy giving a presentation with microphone, and he used it like this to point at things, and he kept it very low. So if I do it, please remind me that I shouldn't. You must have realized by now that this morning is about tools, and my speech is not an exception. I will talk about another tool. This tool is called NetGraph, and its purpose is to allow users to search in Prague Dependency Tree Bank. You have seen already two tools that allow searching in Corpora. One of them is Thread. You saw a small example of a query in Thread, and you will see, I believe, more examples in the afternoon. Thread is a very powerful tool for searching in tree banks. Its query power is unlimited, at least in the sense of computer programming. But it's, well, a little disadvantage is that you need to learn something before you can use it for searching. You need to learn how to write macros in Perl. The other tool was Manatee and Bonito. You just saw it. It can be used for searching in linear text, possibly annotated with some linear information. NetGraph, on the other hand, is a tool for searching in tree banks, and it tries to make the searching as easy as possible. It tries to do it so that the users do not have to learn much. Its architecture is client-server. You all know what it means. Somewhere on the internet is a server. It does the searching, and many clients can connect to it simultaneously. The users have their login names and passwords, and once they are connected, they may, if they want, to choose not to search in the whole corpus, but they can define a particular subcorpus they want. Then they can create a query in a graphical way, and the server then searches the tree bank according to the query. I will explain in a moment what it means. And then the server sends the results back to the client, and the user sees what trees match with its query. And NetGraph also provides some basic statistics, like how many trees have been searched so far and how many trees have been found. Okay, I will not show you NetGraph in action because it would take too much time. I only show you several snapshots of the tool and examples of queries. So, once the user has connected to the server and has chosen what part of the tree bank he or she wants to search, then he comes to this tab. There are three main tabs in NetGraph. So this is the query tab. On the left side, you see a list of all available attributes. You can use them in your queries. And the rest of the panel contains many buttons. These buttons are used for creating the queries. You just click on the buttons and choose attributes, sometimes even their values, from the list. Of course, if you want to search for a particular word, you must to type it in, and there cannot be a list of all words. The graphical version of the query is depicted here, and the same query is written, well, here in a text version. I have written it on the bottom of the slide too. In this query, it's the first example of query, we are interested in trees that contain a predicate that governs directly three nodes: actor, effect, and addressee. Now I will explain what searching in a graph means. You draw a tree that you want to be contained in the result trees as a subtree. That's the main idea of searching in a graph. So, if we send this query to the server, one of the trees returned back may be this one. So you see, in green color are emphasized the nodes that match the query. The sentence that belongs to the tree, or I should say that the tree belongs to the sentence, but anyway, it's written here on the top. And on the left side, there is a list of all available attributes. Again, you can check which of them you want to be displayed at every node in the tree. If you click at any node in the tree, all values of all attributes of the node are displayed here on the left side. What I want you to notice now is that the predicate in the result here has four sons, but in the query there were only three sons. But it's okay, it's in accordance with the definition of searching in NetGraph. We only want the query be a subtree in the result tree. And the second thing is that the order of the nodes of the sons of the predicate is different from their order in the query. Here it was actor, effect, and addressee, and in the result it's addressee, effect, and actor. And it's also okay. It's again in accordance with the definition of searching here in NetGraph. The query only says that the predicate has three sons and doesn't say anything about their order, although they must be displayed in some order here. But NetGraph provides means how to set the order, how to control it. Okay, this query language is not powerful enough to satisfy most needs of linguists. So there are so-called meta-attributes in NetGraph that add an additional power to the query language. These meta-attributes are not present in the corpus. They are not evaluated there. They are not there at all. They only pretend to be attributes. Therefore, I call them meta-attributes. Better name would be fake attributes, but it doesn't sound so well. And then, therefore, I call them meta. And the material point is that users may treat them just like normal attributes. The meta-attributes do not add anything to the syntax of the querying language, but they have some interesting semantics. There are, I think, about 10 meta-attributes presently. Here there are four of them. And now I will show you several examples of queries using some of the meta-attributes. This is an example query using meta-attribute optional. On the left side, the left tree here is the query. On the right side and in the middle, there are two possible result trees. In this query, we are interested in a predicate that governs an actor, but it happens sometimes that in between there is another node that represents a conjunction. And we want to search for both cases at one time. So we draw the conjunction node in between and we say that it's optional. It may be there, but it doesn't have to. And here in the two example result trees, you see that here the conjunction node is present, and here is not the actor, is a direct son of the predicate. So this is one of possible usages of the meta attribute optional. This is an example of a wrong query. If you want to try to set a negation in the query, for example, you probably already see what happened here, but I will tell it. I will say it slowly. So we are interested in a predicate that governs actor and addressee directly, but that does not govern a patient. This exclamation mark means that it is not equal to patient. But as you see in the result, this node matches perfectly this node because it is not patient. And you also see that the query does not prevent another patient appear here as the son of the predicate. So negation cannot be set this way in the query. Here you must use another meta attribute. This is the correct way how to set negation. Well, the beginning of the query is the same, and here is the patient, and you say that number of its occurrences here as a son of the predicate is zero. If you wanted, you may say number of occurrences is greater than 5 and similar things. In this particular case, we want it to be zero, and it means that it doesn't appear there at all in the result trees. And as you see in this one example, the patient is not there. And this is the last example I will show you. It's the most complex, I believe. In this query, we are interesting first for small trees because they are best for presentations. So this root of the query says that number of its descendants, it means number of all nodes in the result trees, should be less than 10. And its depth in the result tree should be 0. So it matches exactly the root of the result tree, the technical root of all trees. And it says that the tree may have 10 nodes at maximum, including the root. Well, and what next? What else the query searches for? There are two nodes. One of them is actor, another one is patient. And I forgot to mention that all meta attributes start with underscore, is how you may easily recognize them. So we use meta attribute transitive. It says that this edge is transitive, what means that the node can occur anywhere in the subtree of this node. We use this meta attribute twice at each node, and it means that these nodes may occur anywhere in the result tree. One of them is patient, the other one is actor, and we want the patient be there should be on the right side here, not on the left side. I apologize. We want the actor to be on the left side from the patient. How to do it? We use another meta attribute name to name one of the nodes in order to be able to make references to it. And we also use an ordinary attribute deepord that keeps the information of ordering the nodes in trees from left to right. And we say the deepord of the actor is less than deepord of the node N1, which is this one. So now we made sure that the actor is on the left side from the patient. And the last thing we want is that the patient is a coreferential node of the actor. I believe yesterday you heard about what coreference is and that you have at least some idea. And we do it this way. Attribute coref-gram keeps information about coreferential nodes regarding grammatical coreference in this case. So we say that this attribute contains ID, identifier of this node, of node N1. So it's a little bit complex query. And one of the possible results is this one. As you see, it's a small tree. It has less than 10 nodes. The root of the query matches the technical root of the tree. And here is the actor, and here is the patient. And the patient is a coreferential node of the actor. Well, there are several more meta-attributes. I will not show them to you now. But if you are interested in NetGraph, here is the homepage of NetGraph. It can be downloaded from there. You can even connect to our server that searches through Prague Dependency Tree Bank from this web page. You do not have to have your login name and password. You can use anonymous access first. Well, if you have any questions, please ask me now. Yes, please.
Yes, I think my question perhaps could also have been addressed to the previous speaker, so either one of you might be able to answer it perhaps in different ways. I wonder how easy it is to search for certain syntactic constructions. I don't know much about, well, I don't know anything about Czech syntax except what was said yesterday, that there's very free word order. So I don't know what constructions you might have, but thinking of things like clefting or extraposed relative clauses or certain types of long-distance dependencies, how would you search for those?
Well, it's definitely possible to search for it in Thread, but I don't know how. And I believe it's possible in NetGraph too, but I must say I am not a good linguist, so we would have to talk about your question more in order to that I would be able to draw to create the query in NetGraph. And it's even possible that some of them are not it's not possible to make in NetGraph. Now, its question power is query power is limited. So sorry for not answering you better. If you want, we may talk about it afterwards.
And in the other, you cannot display syntactic information in the Bonito because it is only for, as my colleague said at the beginning, of speech that it is only for linear data. And these examples, as you mentioned, are not linear. Of course, if for instance for analytical layer, we use for the PDT. Corpus of analytical layer does not differ from the morphological ones. It means that to every word form there is assigned an analytical functor. And we have prepared corpus for the Bonito, where it's possible to search for these analytical functors. So if you have corpus prepared that they display something you want, you can display it. But you cannot get. It is not possibly the way as you want it. Again, I would need to talk more carefully with you.
Yes, there is another question.
Okay. I was wondering if you've made a comparison to TGREP or linguist search engine. So TGREP is a regular expression. You formulate a regular expression, and it's for searching pen tree bank, which is not a dependency tree bank.
Yes, I know. You can use regular expressions here in NetGraph too. I didn't show it, but it's possible too. And there are several features in TGREP that I believe cannot be done here in NetGraph yet. Several sorts of questions, but many things that you can do in TGREP can be done here in NetGraph too.
And another graphical search system is linguist search engine, and that's...
That I do not know. Mm-hmm. I know Tiger Search. It's but the answer for Tiger Search is similar like for TGREP. Mm-hmm. It's more powerful than NetGraph presently.
So you said that you also have regular expressions. So
yes.
Are your regular expressions more powerful than what you can express graphically in the tree, or is it the trees, the graphical representations of the queries are as powerful as the regular expressions?
What I didn't say is that the regular expression can be used only in values of attributes. Mm. So here is one of the queries. You cannot make a regular expression between structures, only inside the values of attributes. So it's something different you want.
Yeah,
to
it gets. Yeah, I guess TGREP isn't exactly regular expressions anyway, because it's about tree structures. But okay.
Yes.
Let me make a remark as regards the power of TGREP and NetGraph, as I think is the major difference. And I think Jiří has not mentioned it because of his modesty, but I think the point that NetGraph is more important for our usage is that the dependency trees are not restricted for word order in the sentences or word order in the trees. So you cannot use TGREP or you cannot use context free grammars to describe non-projectivities or free word order shifts or cleft sentences. So the case that NetGraph doesn't or allows queries that don't restrict word order is important. It's, I think, the most important feature of NetGraph as compared to other search tools that are done for originally for context-free languages or context-free grammars.
I don't know. Thank you, Ota. Any other questions? Okay, feel free to ask me any question during the lunch. Thank you for your attention.